Hello, I'm Father Francis Martin, and I want to begin this series of commentaries on the Gospel and the rest of the liturgical readings Sunday by Sunday. I've been teaching Scripture for about 55 years, and I felt that the Lord wanted me to share all this now with men who are busy all day with many things to do, to help them prepare their homilies for Sunday. So I have a little bit of a format in mind. I'm going to talk for the first 15 minutes or so on who we are and on the liturgy. And then the next three segments will be on the readings themselves with background. I want to provide the background so that you can use it if you wish. I'm not going to give you necessarily points for preaching, because you can assimilate this and do that yourself. So let's begin. First thing I want to say, I'm going to remind us all some texts that are from Vatican II and from the latest post-synodal declaration of Pope Benedict called Verbum Domini. Just came out recently. This is the one from the liturgy, Lumen Gentium number 10. Nevertheless, the liturgy is the summit toward which the activity of the Church is directed. That's interesting, isn't it? All our work, preaching the gospel, anointing the sick, visiting the hospital, getting the furnace fixed, all of it is directed toward the activity of the Church, which is the liturgy. That's amazing, isn't it? We don't think that very often. When we read the document, we do, but in other words, the life of our people should also be directed in such a way that its source and summit is the liturgy. Why? Because it is a unique sacramental presence of Jesus Christ, identifying us with the act of love in which he died and leading us to a union with the Father. We could call it an icon presence. In the letter to the Hebrews, in chapter 10, we have a line that says, the law, having a sketch of the good things to come, but not the very icon of the realities themselves. So that there's the realm of shadow, icon, and reality. Shadow is the Old Testament, icon is the New Testament, reality is heaven. So here we are in this middle one. The liturgy, the Eucharistic liturgy in particular, is an icon. Our Lord Jesus Christ, at this moment, is in heaven, in his glorified humanity, his wounds radiant, surrounded by angels and saints, and worshipped along with the Father and the Spirit in an environment of incredible bliss and happiness. The icon is that same Jesus Christ in all his glory and majesty, but not in the mode of existence that's proper to himself. The mode that's proper is the one I just described in heaven. The mode that we have is sacramental. It's the bread and wine. But that bread and wine is Jesus Christ. And he's surrounded by angels who come. They don't take up any room. There could be thousands of them at the liturgy, worshiping and leading us and helping us to worship. And so you see, our job is to reflect in our own faith the fact that Jesus is there, leading us, guiding us, forgiving us. And that's why it's called the source and summit of the Christian life. For the aim and object of apostolic work, is that all who are made sons of God by faith and baptism should come together to praise God in the midst of his church and to take part in the sacrifice and eat the Lord's Supper. When the Lord says, this is my body, this is my blood, and he says it through us, he is reenacting that act of love in which he died and inviting us to be part of it. This begins at baptism. In Romans 6, we're told we are baptized into his death. That means we're baptized into that act of love in which he died. As we enter into that, we're pulled away from sin and brought into the Lord's presence. So that's the liturgy. You can see how difficult it is in a culture like our own, which is, the whole culture is sort of fast food. Everything has to be quick now, and also not very transcendent. And here we have, at the very center of the Catholic life, the presence of Jesus Christ, fixed forever in that living act by which he died in an act of love, giving him soul, whole self to the Father and drawing us into that act. That's what this liturgy is all about. Huh? So we come together to praise God in the midst of his church, to take part in the sacrifice, that is, offer ourselves along with Jesus, and to eat the Lord's Supper, where we have physical contact with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's true then, in a very particular way, what Paul says in Galatians, I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. To prepare ourselves and to prepare the people is the reason for the whole presence of the Word of God in the first part of the Mass. And there Christ is present. He's present as leading us toward the Eucharistic presence and leading our minds. I think one of the reasons why the Eucharist does not produce its fruit in the lives of us priests and of our people is that the first part of the Mass is not doing its part. The Word of God has not awakened us, awakened our faith, and brought us to a place where we can really take in Jesus Christ in a way that he then takes us in to himself. If the Word is allowed to do its job, then the rest of the Mass will have an enormous effect on the priest and on the people. It's very important. You know, Bishop Ratzinger once said, these are my words, but the idea is his. One of the signs that the church is sustained and supported by God is that it sustains millions of bad sermons every year. Now, we want to change that. We want to be able to help our people. So, I just want to give you another quote. This was from Sacrosanctum Concilium, number 33. For in the liturgy, God speaks to his people, and Christ is still proclaiming his gospel. And the people reply to God, both by song and prayer, but not just singing with my head somewhere else. It's my whole being I give to God, and I sing that gift. That's what this is all about. And we'll look at other parts of it later on, where the church tells us that one of our principal duties is to preach. I want to give you just a couple of more texts. This one is Sacrosanctum Concilium. Even more, it must be said that Christ himself is present in his word, since it is he who speaks when scripture is read in the church. We have to help our readers understand this too. You see, it's Christ speaking through them when they're reading, whether it be Old Testament or New. And therefore, they have to be in the state of grace. They have to be praying so that this actually happens. Huh? So the last thing I want to say about that is a quote from St. Leo. This is from St. Leo. He's the early part of the 5th century. And this is a homily of his in which he says, all those things which the Son of God both did and taught for the reconciliation of the world, we not only know in the account of things past, this Bible, the Scriptures, the Gospels, but we also experience in the power of works that are present. Those are the sacraments, but it's also the Word of God. The Word of God is meant to bring us to an experience of the presence of Christ in our midst and in our lives and in our own hearts. Now, Origen has something similar to say about the union of the believers, particularly when they're together at the liturgy. The resurrection of Christ, which took place after the sufferings of the cross, contains the mystery of the resurrection of the whole body of Christ, which is what we celebrate every Sunday. It's an anticipation of Easter. For just as the perceptible body of Christ was crucified, buried, and afterwards raised, so the body of the saints of Christ, that is us, was crucified with Christ and now no longer lives. It is Christ who lives in us. And so that's the background of this, and why the church wants us to serve the Word of God in a way that brings it to the people so that, as Leo says, they will experience these realities that are in the sacred text. And he wants that. So that's what I want to say about that part. We can stop and then we'll move on.